Psalms 122.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Praise God. So, you know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And those that do, may they prosper. Tonight's study has to do with Daniel's 70 weeks. We're going to be doing it, going into this for approximately 4 weeks to understand it. And what I want is that everyone in our group is capable of teaching this study. So that if you have friends or people that need to understand the depth of this prophecy, that you can understand it through these four studies. The next studies are on God's timeline for Israel as a Jewish people, a nation, an ancient land coming into our times and beyond. There are people, churches, denominations, and schools of thought that refuse to see Israel as being vital and important in their Christian beliefs. This attitude or theology is false. God is not done with Israel as the Jewish people or the land of Israel. A real Christian cannot help but be concerned with Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Israel is back in her land again by God, though they are not yet perfected as God's nation. They will soon go through Jacob's trouble and be purged during the Great Tribulation to be the nation of God after the church is taken away. They cannot have their temple until they have their land, and they have to be drawn back from the nations into their original homeland. We are in the times where they are being drawn from the nations. And this is also prophecy. Those refusing to recognize this, who call themselves Christians, are blinded by worldly perspectives concerning scripture and theology and ideologies. These next studies will show that God is not done with them as a people, a nation, and their land, especially Jerusalem, where the temple was and will be. Only a secure Israel can rebuild the temple, implying a Jewish people in their ancient land. The 10 northern tribes of Israel were taken captive by Assyria around 722 BC. The southern kingdom of Judah, consisting of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, would last around another 120 years, finally being taken captive to Babylon around 606 BC to about 586 BC. It happened in increments. Having their temple and city destroyed and walls breached. And that's where we are going to deal with the 70 weeks, because Daniel the prophet was one of the people taken from Israel, Jerusalem, to Babylon. And he was there under Babylon, and he was also there under the Medo-Persian kings. He did not see the Grecian Empire. He did not live during the Grecian Empire or the Roman Empire. 2 Kings 18, verses 11 through 12. Do you have that, Chris?
No.
Okay, I have that. 2 Kings 18, 11 through 12. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Hala and in Habar by the river of Gozan in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded and would not hear them nor do them. This is 2 Kings 18 concerning these 10 northern tribes. So you've got a scriptural reference for study. Judah was allowed to stay, so Jerusalem was still the capital, and they would continue on for another 120 years, finally being taken away by Babylon. Why were they taken by Babylon? Is absolutely essential to understanding prophecy and the 70 weeks. You cannot understand the 70 weeks without understanding the land Sabbaths. They go hand in hand. When I was taught the 70 weeks in the 70s, years ago, decades ago, nobody ever really got into the connections between the 7-year land Sabbaths and the 7 years that every week would be in the 70 weeks. But you cannot understand it. You cannot understand it without understanding the depth of the law. So we start here in Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 7, tells us about a Sabbath year. Please listen.
The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, and say to them, when you enter the land that I am giving you, that the land shall observe a Sabbath for the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your fields, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyards, and gather their yield. But in the 7th year there shall be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap the aftergrowth of the harvest or gather the grapes of your unpruned vine. It shall be a year of complete rest for the land. You shall eat what the land yields during its Sabbath. You, your male and female slaves, your hired and your bound laborers will live with you. For the livestock also, and for the wild animals in your land, all is yield shall be for food."
Okay, here's the law given by God that every 7 years is a land Sabbath. In Leviticus 23, we have the Sabbath that happens every 7 days. The second kind of Sabbath is the land Sabbath that happens every 7 years. Then there's going to be the Jubilee, which happens after 7 land Sabbaths. The 50th year would be called a year of Jubilee, which we are going to teach on, not quite during this study right now today, but we are definitely going to get there. So here's Israel given this command, and in Leviticus 26, all the way 1 down through 34, we're going to understand things that God said to Israel, and it's going to definitely go right back to the Sabbaths. Now, it's important for all you folks and people on the internet that are listening to this study, when in Isaiah or in other prophets, when it uses plural for the word Sabbath, and it says Sabbaths, you're also dealing with the land Sabbaths. Many people always only think of the 7-day Sabbath, and they don't understand that there's also more than just the one Sabbath day that happens every 7 days. Okay, so now we're in Leviticus, the 26th chapter. Michelle, can you take your portions?
Sure. Leviticus 26, 1 through 10. "Do not make idols or set up carved images, sacred pillars or shaped stones to be worshipped in your land. I, the Lord, am your God. You must keep my Sabbath days of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you keep my laws and are careful to obey my commandments, I will send the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops, and the trees will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will extend until the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will extend until it's time to plant grain again. You will eat your fill of live securely. You will eat your fill and live securely in your land. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep without fear. I will remove the wild animals from your land and protect you from your enemies. In fact, you will chase down all your enemies and slaughter them with your swords. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All your enemies will fall beneath the blows of your weapons. I will look favorably upon you and multiply your people and fulfill my covenant with you. You will have such surplus of crops that you will need to get rid of the leftovers from previous years to make room for each new harvest.
Praise God. Okay, Art, you've got 11?
Yes, Leviticus 26, 11 through 20. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. And strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit.
Okay. Sharon, you're next.
Leviticus 21 down. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you 7 times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight. And you shall eat and not be satisfied. And after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation. And I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate, and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it did not rest on your Sabbath when you dwelt in it.
Praise God. So here we understand right now that this has to do with the land. And it finally ends with what Sharon says, that we're dealing with these land Sabbaths. That if Israel did not allow their land to rest every 7 years and allow everyone in the land to eat off of it. There are many laws of righteousness concerning Israel and the land. They're supposed to leave their corners for the poor. They could only go through their crops one time. There are many laws concerning the righteousness, but God always wanted the land to restore. And one of the last things that he would do, though he would bring judgments against them, one of the last things he would do is he would take them off of their own land. When we understand it, when the 10 tribes were taken away because they worshipped all these Mideastern idols, they were literally taken away in hooks, you know, in their mouth. God finally said, you want these gods? You want these demons? I'm going to give them to you. And he let, you know, them go to Assyria in a very, very horrible way. So here, God sets forth the land Sabbaths. So now we come to Daniel, the first chapter. We can all go. We're going to be in Daniel for a bit. And then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles 36 to understand why God said Israel was carried away to Babylon. It's going to directly do with Leviticus 25 and 26. Okay, Chris, you've got the first verses of Daniel 1, okay. First chapter.
In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord let King Jehoiakim of Judah fall into his power, as well as some of the vessels of the house of God. These he brought to the land of Shinar and placed the vessels in the treasury of his gods.
Right. So I'll read in mind. These he carried off to the temple of his god in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his god. So when you see Shinar there, you're understanding that it's Babylon. Now, in 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, we all need to understand this. This is one of these very important scriptures. There are so many different kind of Bible people. Israel was committing sexual sin, and Israel was, they were doing this and doing that, and it has to do with some of their little pet sins, and they don't want to go into the depth of what the scripture has to say. Idolatry, false gods, all of these things lead to a horrible culture that does not allow Israel to keep their land Sabbaths. The land Sabbaths have to do with justice. They have to do with justice. So you cannot understand why Israel was taken off the land if you don't understand some of the mercy perspectives of the justice. Every 7 years, along with the land Sabbath, over the Feast of Tabernacles, there would be forgiveness of debt. Every 7 years times seven, which is 49 years, the 50th year in the Jubilee, the land was actually given back to the original tribes. It was evil to remove a ancient landmark, the scripture says, so that if a family, let's say, in Ephraim was given so many acres for their land, 1,000 years later, they still, every 50 years, the land would return to that family. So there was a distribution of land and a distribution of wealth. When Israel did not keep the land Sabbath, they certainly were not going to keep the Jubilee. And they certainly were not going to keep the Shemitahs. They were not going to give their debt. They were not going to forgive. So there was all these things that were completely associated with the land Sabbath. So when Israel, would worship these false gods, they ultimately were involved with Lucifer's game rather than God's glory. God's glory always lifted up the poor, always lifted up the average, would not allow the accumulation of great lands in forms of corporations. The land always had to return back to the original people and be renewed. And this law is going to be taught in the millennial period, so that tribes are going to get their land back. Huge areas that have been stolen by the devil, and the devil has used them, has taken nations' wealth and land wealth. That's going to be changed, but it's not going to be changed until Daniel's 70th week, which is going to be the Great Tribulation period. Okay, so in 2 Chronicles 36 here, I'll start reading here verses 1 here, down for a few verses. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. In the spring, King Nebuchadnezzar sent for him and brought him to Babylon, together with articles of value from the temple of the Lord, and he made Jehoiakim's uncle Zedekiah king over Judah and Jerusalem. This matches Daniel 1:1, what Chris had just read. Chris had just read, in the third year, the king of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. So in 2 Chronicles 36, we're seeing Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days. He did evil in the eyes of the sight of the Lord. In the spring, King Nebuchadnezzar sent for him and brought him to Babylon. So in this first wave, we're going to see back in Daniel 1 that Daniel was one of the people that was brought, because the Babylonian Empire wanted to bring in the best lot from Israel to school some of its people in order to be people within its empire, right? That's how the book of Daniel starts.
2 Chronicles 36, 11 through 14. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. He did not humble himself before the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. All the leading priests and the people who were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they polluted the house of the Lord that he had consecrated in Jerusalem.
All right. Okay, then Art, you've got yours next.
2 Chronicles 36, 15 through 19. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warning to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending him, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his word, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with a sword to the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. And all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions.
Okay, and you got next, Sharon.
And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, then the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house of Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up.
Okay, so here, later, we're going to see that the temple is to be built first before the city and the walls. And Cyrus, God had put it in Cyrus's heart. But notice the power here of verse 21. Now, I'll read verse 20 in a modern perspective, because Chaldeans is the Babylonians. Shinar is the Babylonians. Verse 20, he carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his successors until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbaths, rests, all the time of its desolation. It rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Israel, you know, 70, right? 70. Every 7 years would be a land Sabbath. That'd be one. Next one would be 14 years. When you get 70 land Sabbaths, 7 times 70 is 490 years. That means God said that Israel, for 490 years, they did not let the land rest. They kept on being greedy. They kept on growing. And it also means that they did not have the Jubilees. So they weren't just giving the land back to all the poor. They were letting the wealthy accumulate the land. And some of these scriptures, when we deal with the Jubilee, we will show how it was absolutely against the word of God to have 3 or 4 houses or to have huge land areas. It was completely wrong to have a 1% sitting on top of everybody while everybody else was basically disenfranchised. They were doing this. They were not keeping the distribution of wealth and the relating of the land to all the people. That the rich were becoming richer and the poor were becoming poor. And along with breaking these laws, they were allowing their idols to come in, because who needs the God of Israel if God's going to tell them they have to give their land away? So they're growing special crops, and they're making the selling them to the cities and to other peoples in the world and the rest of it. And some are getting rich while the other people are becoming disenfranchised. So you can never separate the land Sabbaths with the average person. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some of that today? Wouldn't that be nice if the world actually allowed original lands to be given back to original people? And that even if they could barter and sell them for a while, every 50 years the land came back? It's going to happen in the millennial period. And part of the great judgment of God upon planet Earth is because this justice is not happening. Some kid is crying in a crib. You got 2 babies crying in a crib. One's born in utter poverty, and one happens to be born with somebody who owns almost as much land as Montana. You know, the kid gets the land, and the other kid's got nothing. Is that righteousness? Is that fairness? God eliminated this process in Israel. He didn't want that to happen. And he also always wanted the land replenished. So he would let it rest every 7 years. So what we're seeing here, and you can mark it in your Bible, put a pen mark next to your scripture there in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 21. Israel did not keep the land Sabbaths. And that is the judgment that allows them to go to Babylon. Because the land Sabbaths were way more than just letting the land restore. They were justice. It was justice for all people so that the land was returned. Because if they're not keeping the land Sabbaths, they're not keeping the Jubilees, which we'll be talking about later. So for 490 years, they didn't do it. Next study, we're going to show when the 490 started. Because Israel existed all the way back as a nation under Moses, right? And they started to come into their land from the time of Joshua. Well, when you take that time period all the way back when they started coming in from Joshua until they were taken captive to Babylon, it's much more than 490 years. It's closer to 1,000 years. So the time when God said, you're no longer keeping the land Sabbath, is in Scripture. Now we're back to Daniel, the first chapter again, to understand this is where Daniel is born. He's born, and after he's a young, once he's a young man, Jerusalem is besieged. Remember I told you, I used the date 606 to about 586, that it happened incrementally, certain people were taken off. Well, Daniel was one of these people that was taken off. Okay, so Daniel 1, when I read before it, when Chris had read right before, right, in Daniel 1 there in the beginning verses, first Daniel shows that it was during the time of Jehoiakim and that the vessels are taken and etc., right? So it shows us now that Daniel is in, he's in this land of Shinar, this land of the Chaldeans, Babylonia. Now in verse 3, we continue Daniel's speaking concerning him writing. And I'll read it. Daniel 1, verses 3 through 21. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of the court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years. After that, they were to enter into the king's service. Among those that were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. The chief officials gave them names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar; Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid, my lord, the king, who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse and the other young men your age than the other men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So we agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked better, healthier, nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine, and they were to drink and give them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So here's Daniel, Daniel the prophet. He's in this land and he's going to be exalted to the level of like a Secretary of State. He's going to be on that incredible high level as we go here in the book of Daniel. I won't show the visions of Daniel in 2 and 7 yet, but I will deal with the 70 weeks. But we're setting the 70 weeks up so you understand always and forever that it's, you know, 7 years, and it directly relates to the land Sabbaths. Okay, now we've got two scriptures in Jeremiah. I asked Chris to read those, right?
Yes.
Here's these 70 years that Jeremiah predicted that Daniel is going to see in the 9th chapter. We see first Jeremiah 25, verse 11.
This whole land shall begin a ruin and a waste, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
There's one of them. How many years?
70.
70. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Excuse me.
For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place.
Okay, so Israel, gone for 70 years, showing a 490-year period where they were not keeping the land Sabbaths, and we'll bring that out next week. Here Daniel is, understanding these prophecies here. Now, it's important to understand certain things about Israel. Daniel and Israel as a nation takes place in the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles are when Gentile political powers basically rule Israel, even when they are in their own land. The four great empires, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and finally Rome. According to the Bible, we are still in the Roman Empire and will be until Christ sets up his kingdom, when Israel, being the head of the earth and the law, goes forth from Jerusalem in Isaiah 2. Luke 21, verses 20 through 24. This is the times of the Gentiles where it's mentioned. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. And let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be a great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The fullness of the Gentiles is Romans 11, verse 25, where the scripture says basically that Israel is blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The times of the Gentiles are the political powers that Israel sits under. The fullness of the Gentiles is when the house of Japheth sits in the tents, the tents of Japheth sit in the tents of Shem, where Christ calls the Gentiles out. And that's what he's doing right now. He's calling the Gentiles into his eternal kingdom. And then he's going to bring back his prophecies to Israel. So that was Luke 21, verses 20 through 24. And that had to do with the 70 AD, when Titus, the Roman general, would come in and destroy the temple. Because this distress is upon the Jews, and it's not just the entire world. And then it lets us know that Jerusalem would be have armies, and it would go through distress for long, long periods of time until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So Daniel is under the Babylonian Empire and will go right into, you know, the Medo-Persian Empire. The next one after that will be Greece, and then comes the Roman Empire, which the Word of God says we're still in. We're still in the Roman Empire. and the Antichrist is going to come out of that in that great tribulation period during Daniel's 70 weeks. Now we're at chapter 9 in Daniel. This is where the 70 weeks are given, where the 70 weeks are going to replace the land Sabbaths. Daniel is in the Persian Empire at this time. Daniel 9, verse 1. In the year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. In the first year of his reign, Daniel understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us. Because we have sinned against you, you have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole earth, nothing has ever been done like this, what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our Lord, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant for your sake. Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear, and for your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was yet speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the angel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight among the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you begin to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 seven. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. The word heped in the Hebrew is seven. It's like the seven of the land Sabbaths. So we see here that the 70 weeks replace the land Sabbaths. These are what is called the 70 weeks. Most of your Bibles will have 70 weeks, 7 years. So these are years, not days. This is not 490 days, 7 times 70. This is 7 times 70 in a year sense. So there's 490 years. The walls and everything would be built during the first sevens or the first 49 years, and then until the cutting off of the Messiah would be 69 weeks. Then the sanctuary then would be destroyed in 70 AD, and the last part, verse 27, is a covenant of 1 week, and in the middle of the week comes this abomination that makes desolation in the temple. It says in Matthew 24, verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. This is the Mount of Olives. It's the Mount of Olives. After his entrance into Jerusalem on a donkey, Palm Sunday, he went over here to this Mount of Olives after he had left the Eastern Gate, and he began to expound to his disciples prophecy. Here in Matthew 24, verses 15 through 22, he goes, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, as spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Let them who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. In those days, if those days had not been shortened, no one would be saved or survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Here, Matthew 24, verse 15, actually mentions the 70 weeks. I have a Scofield Bible. In my cross-reference, it goes right to Daniel 9:27. Nowhere in the 39 books of the Old Testament is the abomination of desolation spoken of except by Daniel. This is the 70th week, the seven-year period where the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel, allows them to have their temple. And in the midst of this seven-year period, he breaks the covenant and Israel's in trouble and is told to flee. It also says that if those days would not be short, no one would survive. This is a time period like none other on the history of the earth. This is not just distress in Jerusalem. This is distress where nobody in the world would survive. Nobody on the planet would survive. Now, Matthew is a Jewish writer. He writes it. Mark, he writes it in Mark 13, verses 14 through 20. When you see the abomination that causes desolation, quoting Daniel again, stand where he does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning when God created the world until now, and never will be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. This is the great tribulation, the 7-year great tribulation. This is the 70th week. Here's how the Living Bible talks of Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. The Lord has commanded 490 years of further punishment upon Jerusalem and your people. Then at last they will learn to stay away from sin, and their guilt will be cleansed, and the kingdom of everlasting righteousness will begin, and the most holy place in the temple will be rededicated, as the prophets have declared. Now listen, it will be 49 years plus 334 years from the time of the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One comes. Jerusalem, its streets and walls will be rebuilt despite the perilous times. After the period of 434 years, the 69th week, the Anointed One will be killed, his kingdom still unrealized, and a king will raise whose armies will destroy the city and the temple. They will be overwhelmed as with a flood and war. Its miseries are declared and decreed from that time to the very end of the Gentile period. The king will make a 7-year treaty with the people, but after that, half time, he will break his people, his pledge, and stop the Jews from all their sacrifice and their offerings. Then, as a climax to all his terrible deeds, the enemy shall utterly defile the sanctuary of God, but in God's time and plan, his judgment will be poured out upon the evil one. So here in the Living Bible, it just comes right out and says it's a 490-year period, that after the 483 years, the Messiah is cut off, and that there'll be 1 7-year period left. Nehemiah 1 tells us this. Verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hallelujah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and distress. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, the Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. He is praying before you this day, night and day, for your servant, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my latter's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commandment, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. So Nehemiah here understands that the walls and the city have been burned and hurt and ruined, and he has a desire to see them restored, and prays to God that they can be restored. And this will take us to Nehemiah 2. It must be understood too that Nehemiah is working with Ezra, the book of Ezra is the building of the temple, which is decreed under Cyrus. But though the temple has been built, the walls in the city and the gates have not been restored. Nehemiah and the book of Nehemiah is the story of this restoration. Nehemiah 2 is where the command went forth to finally build the walls. And it is the start of the 70 weeks. I'll read Nehemiah 2 verses 1 through 7. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, when wine was brought before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill?" This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will your journey take? And when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it please the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests. I went to the governor of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me." So that's actually through verse 9. This is the command that the walls, the city, should be rebuilt. And it is the beginning of the 70 weeks. It is the start of the very first week starting in 444 BC. The city needs to be built around the temple, the second temple. Now, the 69th week, the Messiah is cut off. Then when it goes in Daniel 9, verse 27, "He shall make a covenant for 1 week." Christ mentions this week in Matthew 24, verse 15, and in Mark 13, verses 14. He mentions it. Paul also is going to mention it in 2 Thessalonians 2, 2. But it's unusual because the clock stopped when the Messiah was cut off. When Christ died on the cross, 69 weeks were fulfilled, and 1 week is left. And that's what we're going to deal with next week. How do we determine the years from 444 BC until the cutting off of the Messiah? And then the third and fourth studies will start to deal more with the 70th week. Does everybody understand? This is the important part of it. The land Sabbaths will not start again until the 70th week. And we'll be going into that. We'll show how that, until the land is freed by the Messiah, until Israel is completely freed by the Messiah, until the world is judged, until everlasting righteousness comes in, there can be no land Sabbaths in Israel when it is still considered to be under Gentile powers. Right now, God sees the United Nations. He sees this whole covenant coming with the Antichrist in Israel. Israel is completely dependent in its relationship to the United States. It's prophetic that it's drawn back, but it is like any other nation until God Almighty starts the 70th week. Once the 70th week comes, the temple has to be there, and then God will start to bring the law back, and we'll understand that more as we go in this study. But right now, instead of having the 7-year land Sabbaths, we have the 70 weeks of 7 years. And God stopped the clock for the church age. And we'll be getting into that next week as well. Once the Messiah was cut off, the church age sits in there between the 69th week and the 70th week. And in order for the 70th week to start, the church age has to end. Once the church age ends, God is completely dealing with Israel in the 70th week. So the 70 weeks fit in to all of the Jewish feast days as well. The 70th week cannot start till after the Feast of Trumpets. It cannot start until then. It comes in through the Day of Atonement and ends at the Feast of Tabernacles at the millennial period when everlasting righteousness is brought in. And Israel will have Isaiah 2, where the law will go forth from Jerusalem for the entire world. But that's yet to come in these studies. Praise God. Whose Father?
Our Father.
Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is.